prayer. O Lord, we ask that you'll bless us now in your word and teach us thy way. In the Savior's precious name, amen. Amen. Let's come back in our Bibles, please, to John chapter 10 and the verse 9, where the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. John chapter 9 and verse 10. Yesterday I Googled, how many sheep are there in Israel? And the answer came up, 520,000 sheep in Israel. Now, that led me to do a bit of digging. How many are there in Ireland, UK, New Zealand, some of the big sheep countries of the world? And you know, the biggest one is China. By far, something like 130 million sheep in China. I did not know the Chinese people had so many sheep and were so fond of lamb. But Israel is synonymous with sheep. And certainly in Bible times, in the days of our Lord Jesus, everyone understood the language of the shepherd and the sheep and the work that they went about. Now, the mark of the true shepherd is the one that enters into the fold by the door. And the Lord explained to everyone else that tries to get into that sheepfold, which was like a walled yard or pen, where the shepherds would bring their sheep and entrust them to a porter. The porter was the one who lay across the doorway by night, and he guarded the sheep while the shepherds were asleep. And each shepherd entrusted a sheep into that fold. But if a shepherd tried to climb up another way, well, he was a thief and a robber. And so the mark of every true shepherd in the Lord's church is the one that teaches that Christ is the door. He's the way to heaven. He's the way to peace with God. And every preacher that fails on that point is a robber and a thief. That, in a very short little statement, is the teaching of the early verses in this parable which the Lord Jesus gave concerning the sheep and the shepherd. Now, likewise, the true sheep are those who hear the shepherd's voice. They know their own shepherd's voice. Because remember, these flocks are all mixed by night in the pen. But in the morning, the shepherd comes, he calls his sheep. And they recognize his voice. Now, there was someone who visited Israel, and they experimented with this. And he dressed up like the shepherd, with the very clothing of the shepherd. And then he called his sheep, but they wouldn't come. They were not just followers of anybody. And the amazing thing about the gospel and Christianity is that the Lord gives a discernment between false shepherds and the genuine, between the true and the false gospel. The mark of the true sheep is that they hear the shepherd's voice. There is a God-given, Spirit-given gift of discernment that you know when the truth, the real gospel, and the real Christ is being presented to you. Now, the fearful thing is that when the Lord spoke these words, there were many Jews who did not hear the shepherd's voice. And I tried to figure out the connection between chapter 10 and chapter 9. Now remember, when the New Testament was written, there were no chapter divisions. These chapter divisions were an invention of man somewhere in the 12th century, a man called Cardinal Hugo, who divided up the Bible into chapters for easy reference, just as I did today when I called John chapter 10, verse 1. That's a great help. But formerly, the Bible was just one long written letter. And so when you think of what has been stated here in chapter 10, how does it connect with chapter 9? And if you look at the closing verses of chapter 9, where we preached last week, it ends with the whole reality of the blindness of the Jews who were in controversy with the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said in verse 41, "If ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth." And here is the Lord speaking this parable of the sheep and the shepherd in the very plainest of language, and they don't get it. They are spiritually blind. And that is the world. That's the ungodly, the unregenerate person. The very plainest of language, gospel language, they don't get it. Now, you'll notice here in verse 6, I better back up my statement in verse 6, chapter 10, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things which he spoke unto them." And so it became necessary for the Lord to shift from parabolic language to plain statements. And he had to spell it out in obvious terms. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And so by these words, we're not left guessing at all. How do you interpret a parable? Is it literal? Is it parabolic? Is it some other kind of genre of language that we have to try and twist and turn words? No, Jesus came with absolute plain language saying, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And this teaches us that we are to preach the gospel plainly. We're to make God's truth placarded before the eyes and the hearts of men in terms, in words, in plain statements that people just should never miss it, because the meaning is absolutely plain. So I want to take this boldest statement of the Lord, John 10:9, and preach it today. The Lord Jesus, we're told here, is a single door. "I am the door." And just as that sheepfold had but one door, one porter guarding it, the Lord himself is the one and only door or way into heaven. And note that every sheepfold or every sheep yard, however it was made, stone walls, whatever way the walls were fenced in, just one door. And the Lord applied this parable, this truth, and pointed to himself. And this is the gospel. This is the good news, that number one, there is a door. There's a way to heaven. There's a way for sinners to be saved. There's a way for sheep to be made safe by leading them through that door into the safety and the refuge of the Lord. But it's only one door. And that door is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, do you ever get tired of me preaching this fundamental truth of the gospel? Do you ever weary of me saying the same thing week by week, over and over in different ways? Well, the true sheep never weary of that. They rejoice in it because they don't want to be led by robbers. They don't want a thief. They don't want a wolf coming in to the fold. And true sheep who know the shepherd's voice rejoice when the Lord Jesus is preached and declared and defended as the only way to the Father, As Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, if I would be a false shepherd if I was to preach anything else, even in one sermon. Now, over the year, I preach a lot of sermons. But if I was to preach even in one message, one day, one meeting, and tell my hearers, there's another way to God, there's another way for you to save your soul, I would be a false shepherd. I would be a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I would be a robber of your soul. And so the true preacher, the true message, must be declared faithfully, consistently, and the warning must be given. And I trust that today that it has sunk into your heart that this is not just narrow-mindedness. This is not just petty, riding one-horse attitude. But this is faithfulness to the gospel and, of course, to the whole revelation of God in the Bible, which points to one Messiah, one mediator between God and men, one man who came out of a tomb, who rose again, ascended to the Father. He is now glorified as the Redeemer of his people. Who is the Redeemer of God's elect? The Lord Jesus Christ. And if we preach any other, we are false. As I think of our Canada today, and I think of the many houses of worship that there are across this nation, how many people are being told of other ways to God, other ways to heaven? Some are told the works religion, trust in self. Some we hear about the church, the ceremonies. Some hear of other religions totally. And maybe the name of Jesus is not even mentioned. No, we are called to declare that name and to uplift that name over and over. And this is an absolute truth. Jesus said, I am the door, one door. Secondly, it's a wide door. The Lord says, if any man enter in. If I didn't know the love of God and the grace of God to sinners, I might say this is very loose language. You know, the Lord didn't mean it so tight. If any man just says, you know, if you just happen to come. No, I know what the Bible teaches consistently. And what our Lord said here was not loose language. It was exact language. If any man, no matter who you are, no matter what your burden, no matter what your sin, any man. And that agrees with the Lord's commission to the apostles. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every sinner, every soul is to hear this wonderful message. Now the Bible is filled with texts that talks about the fullness of the Gentiles. And if I know these Jews, and I think we do by now, they thought they were the only ones. They didn't even need a Savior. They didn't even need to hear the gospel. And they thought that they were it. And they looked down upon Gentiles as unworthy of any religion. But the Lord Jesus was sent and sent his apostles to the Gentile world. And there are texts in the Bible that speak of the multitudes of believers in Christ on that great day. We're told in Philippians 2 that every knee shall bow. Bow to who? The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. He's the only one, the only way. In Revelation 5, they sing, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God out of every by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people. And so any man, no matter what his background, nationality, culture, anything. And Revelation 14:6, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Now tonight, Lord willing, I'll be preaching on Pentecost and how this gospel, it was like the explosion of evangelism, and how through the gift of tongues, speaking the gospel to men, the early church was revolutionized into a great missionary machine. And we read in that passage, it shall come to pass. Well, these are verses leading up to the text I want to think of, but they explained the event of that day, the fulfillment of the prophet Joel, that the Spirit would be poured out. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if not before, and I believe it was before also, but absolutely from Pentecost, the whosoever invited any man, the whosoever. And just as John 3:16 is the gospel to whosoever. And so we can preach this gospel to any type and all types of sinners, great sinners. And the Apostle Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. He had the blood of Christians on his hands. Can there be any greater evil than hurting the people of God? Or the newest hearer, like Lydia. She was at a women's prayer meeting. Paul the Apostle showed up and preached. And that day, Lydia trusted in the Lord. Or there is the oldest Christ rejecter. And my mind went to the prodigal's brother. Now, that narrative doesn't really give whether the brother ever really believed. But he was certainly invited. He was called in. And there it was. He was in the house all the while. He had all the privileges of the home. And when the music began because of the prodigal's return, he was invited in. And boy, did he ever have a bad attitude. Did he ever have a chip on his shoulder? Did he ever have all the reasons why he would not go in? But he was pleaded with. And so the oldest Christ rejecter is to be pleaded with. Then there's the scarlet-dyed sinner, the prostitute, the harlot, the sexual deviant who has brought God's curse upon his own life or her life. Yes, they too can be converted. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and we read, such were some of you, but ye are washed. And so we can preach this gospel to every man. The boastful sinner who will humble himself. The Muslim sinner with all his idols and harsh views. Thank God today for amazing conversions amongst Muslims. And we should be praying for more. But this gospel, we, is a wide door. If any man come by me. And I could go on down the list. But what about you? Maybe somehow in your heart, you're saying, but yes, I believe anyone can be saved, but not me. Yes, if you will humble yourself, repent, believe the gospel, you can enter this door. Are you in? Are you on the inside of the door? Or are you still outside without a Savior? Answer the question. Are you a Christian today? Here is this door. Christ is the door. It's the only door. It's a wide door, and it's for you. But have you come in? Or are you standing outside, a rejecter of the Savior? It's also a sure door. I like the note of certainty. It says in this text, and if you go back and Look at the very words. You see them by the eye gate as well as the ear. And it says, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, there are many paths that lead to hell, but only one that leads to heaven. This world is filled with trapdoors to destruction. And God has opened up just one door to heaven through faith in His only Son. And of course, we think of the cross as the way to life. We think of the faith of in Jesus' blood as the way of cleansing. But there are doors that lead to hell. As sure as we're in this building today, that path is the way to destruction. There is the way of presumption. In Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You ever talk to someone, they're not a Christian, they're not saved, and they think they're right, or they think they're all right, and they go on in the path of this world, they have no thought of their soul or eternity, and they are presuming all is well. The Bible says that path are the ways to death. There's also the path of foolish planning. The man who had a bumper harvest, and he said he would pull down his old barns and build new, that he would eat, drink, and be merry. And he had presumed on his future plans. And that night God visited and said, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. The Bible also warns of the way of self-deception. You might think, well, others haven't influenced me. I'm my own man. I'm an independent thinker. I'll go my own way on this. But in Galatians 6:3 it says, For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And so that is the way of destruction. And then, of course, there is the way of willful rejection. And unto this people shalt thou say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before thee the way of life and the way of death. The reality is that every man, woman, and young person, and let me speak to young people here today, maybe I will speak a word to you on this. Every person in this world has a decision to make: the way of life or the way of death. And you've got to factor in and figure out, is the course you're on leading you one day to heaven or to hell? That's the biggest question of your life. And if you're refusing to answer that, if you're refusing to come in through the door, then you're guilty of the greatest presumption. There are so many doors that destroy your soul, but there's only one by which you will be saved. Now, I haven't yet mentioned the doors of money, and there are some people who either put off or dismiss Christianity because they want to follow the path of money. Others for lust, and they know that their life, their secret life, is not right, and that they would need to change very dramatically if they became a Christian. And so they decide to follow the way of lust. There's also the way of bad company, those that influence you for evil. And then, of course, there's false religion. All paths of destruction. One final one I'm going to mention, and that is the door of the church. And there are those who are foolish enough to think that by walking through the door of even a gospel church, that that's the door to heaven. And they look upon the door as wood or metal. But Jesus said, I am the door. And it is not until you come personally by faith to trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior that all that you receive inside a church will ever do you good. You must come personally and individually to trust in the Lord Jesus. And the wonderful thing is that this is a sure door because you shall be saved, because he's going to keep you. He's going to keep you. Look at verse 10, if we go into this just for a moment. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill, but to destroy. Oh boy, you don't want to be in that category. You don't want to be a sheep under that false shepherd. But Jesus said, I am the true shepherd. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so here is abundant life. It will not fail you. It will meet every need of your soul. And so I ask you today to enter in through that door. Are you in on the inside? If I was to conduct your funeral this week, I don't wish this week, but if I was called upon to conduct your funeral, could I tell the mourners who mourn your loss, your departure from this world, could I tell them this person entered through the door who is Christ as Savior and they are now safe in glory? Or would I have to say, I don't know? Or might I even have to say, I know what that person chose. They chose their own way. And I have no confidence to say that this person is absent from the body, present with the Lord. I wish it were absolutely watertight true. And if you have never yet told me that you have trusted Christ, would you please tell me today? Would you please let it be known that you are trusting in the Savior? Someone might say, but surely you saw me take communion. And yes, that ought to be a very good indicator if someone's taking communion on a communion Sunday and participating of that plate, that that person is trust, because I do exhort that. But would that be the only evidence that I could go on? And there are some who don't take communion. What am I to think of you? There are some who pass it to the person beside them. You don't declare your faith in Jesus as your Savior, that you've gone in that door. Therefore, nobody can be sure. And of course, you're not sure. You're not sure. Only till you enter the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. My next point in this text is, it's a liberating door. It says, he shall go in and out, in and out. Now, this term that seems strange at first, but it is a Hebrewism. It's language from the Old Testament people. And when they talked about people going in and out, they simply meant communion and fellowship. It's like watching down the street and you observe somebody and says, he's always going in and out of that house. He's not off the family, he doesn't belong there, but he's always going in and out. He's got access to that home. He's received in the company of that family. They go in and out. And when the Lord is spoken of here that the sheep that believe in him as the door, they are saved and go in and out. That means that you have wonderful friendship, communion, fellowship with the living Christ. That's the liberty that the Christian enjoys. And that's why we were reading in Psalm 119:45 of that wonderful liberty, those who keep the Lord's precepts. When you're a Christian, it's not a life of bondage. That's what the world thinks. That's what the world will tell you. Become a Christian and you're a killjoy. It'll kill your joy. No. When you become a Christian, when you enter through that door and you are saved, born again of the Spirit, you find a wonderful liberty. The liberty is peace with God. Joy in the Lord. You have access, standing in grace. And you'll find your life is a blessed life. And you're no longer under the guilt of sin, under the wrath of God, but you can call God Abba, Father. That's the hymn we commenced our service with today. Abba, Father. That's the nearest, dearest in name of endearment in all the Bible. Abba, Father. Abraham, that's where he got his name. He's called the father of the faithful. Ab is father. That's the dearest term you can have. And for a sinner, an ungodly, unclean, wretched sinner, to be saved by the grace of the Savior and to have this wonderful access to God, to come in prayer and say, my dear Heavenly Father, that is liberty. That is freedom. And this is what the Lord Jesus gives unto his people. And his commandments are not grievous. His word is our delight. And his commandments, they become as honey in our mouth. That's the liberty that we find in Christ. You just ask any Christian, I dare you after church today, ask any Christian, do you find your Christian life bondage? You ain't going to get one person here to tell you that being a Christian is bondage. No. No way. I challenge you. In fact, you'll get the opposite. You will be told that I did not understand what I was getting when I became a Christian. It has come to be so sweet and so blessed. Now, lastly, we come to and shall go in and out and find pasture. This is a soul-satisfying door. Now, this is beautiful language from the world of sheep. You see, every morning the shepherd turned up at the door and he called his sheep out of that sheep pen. They heard his voice and they followed him. And it was the shepherd's task every morning to plan the route where he would find the best pasture for the sheep, because every shepherd wants his sheep to grow, fatten up, and that's where the money is. I'm sorry, farmers think that way. You think that farmers just love sheep. No, they love the economics of it all, and they want their sheep to get fattened up. And so the shepherd leads his sheep the pathway where he noted yesterday, there's a nice green patch, and he takes them there. And the sheep go in and out, and they find pasture because they are following the good shepherd. We as Christians who are living for the Lord Jesus, we find that we have the most soul-satisfying relationship with the Son of God. And I didn't know how to preach this, but I thought on this wonderful hymn, under the burdens of guilt and care, many a spirit is grieving, who in the joy of the Lord might share, life everlasting receiving. Burdened one, why will you longer bear sorrows from which he releases? Open your heart and rejoicing share, life more abundant in Jesus. Leaving the mountain, the streamlet grows, flooding the vale with a river. So from the hill of the cross there flows life more abundant forever. And the wonder of the Christian life is that you are personally linked up to the benefits of Calvary. We love to preach Calvary. And every spiritual blessing is in Christ Jesus, comes to you by the victory of Christ's death on that cross. He died as the good shepherd for the sheep. And I'm saving that text for our communion Sunday, November 3rd. That's our text for communion. And the soul-satisfying relationship that we have with our Lord Jesus is, well, it's better felt than told. I wish I could preach it in its fullness. Let me end with a little story. Mr. Spurgeon, speaking on this text, brought this little story about a man who had two dogs. He had a little dog and a large dog, and he wanted them to go in and out of his house, so he cut two holes in the door for his two dogs. He cut a little hole for the little dog, and he cut a large hole for the large dog. And someone asked him, well, why did you need to cut two holes? Surely, if you cut one big hole for the big dog, the little dog can go through it as well. And the man said, well, I never thought of that. But the message is that the gospel that is ordained for big sinners is that all may come in. No one is excluded. And if the Lord saves the greatest of sinners, He can save you. Isn't that good news? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. What a beautiful, beautiful gospel. I'm so sad by some who are outside. I preach to you, I plead with you, I pray for you, but you're still on the outside looking in. And your life, it's like a rat feeding on the slop. And you don't enjoy spiritual food until your nature is turned into the dove. And then the gospel is the most precious message in all the world. And it satisfies the soul. Please come to Christ today. Please don't put it off. Don't stand on the outside. Don't be like those on Noah's day when the door shut and only eight were on the inside and the world was shut out. Come today to the Savior. Let's conclude our service with a hymn. It's 297. 297. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord and He will surely give you rest. By trusting in His Word. 297. Shall we stand to sing, please? gracious, gracious God, we thank Thee for opening up the way to heaven for the worst of sinners, that all may come by faith through Christ as the door. Lord, write this word on every heart. Lead each one to saving faith in the Savior. Forbid, O Lord, that on that great day that any will be shut out. We pray Thee to speak on and work Your will in every heart. Now bless our departing. May Your grace be with us. And we pray that the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with Your redeemed now and evermore. Amen. Amen.